you're here. Fellowship, sweeter, knowing you're near. So good to see you. I hope that it's fair.
Everyone loves you.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Friday, January 5th, 2018. You keeping warm over there at the homestead?
I don't know if anybody's keeping warm. I think as people are listening to this morning at least, it's, negative 15, negative 17?
Yeah.
That's with the wind chill. I mean, it's freezing outside.
Yeah, very cold. I don't know how our little chicken, we have just one hen left, how she's making it through, but we go out there and marvel that she comes down, and I don't know if she'd say she shivers, but doesn't seem like a happy camper. I don't know how these birds are surviving and all these other animals, these creatures in these like little nests or things that are exposed where, you know, we're shielded from, for the most part, you know, almost all the wind, and we have heaters and electric or fireplaces or whatever, and we're satisfied with hot water and can shower and do everything, and they're like, the elements have to, well, however God's designed everything, I guess he knows what their threshold is and they survive. But wow, thank you God for our homes.
Yeah, I don't know, you know, we've got some stray cats out in the yard and I've been seeing them, you know, running through the snow and that. And I just think, where are you guys sleeping? Like, where are you? I mean, you know, do you have a little nest or what? I mean, I know they got fur, you know, and all that, but you just think, how are they? I mean, it's so cold.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, I was out in the garage the other day and I was doing something and I kept having to take my hands and put them up against this little tiny heater we have and warm them back up just while I was just doing simple little thing in the garage for 15 minutes because it was just so cold in there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing. Well, for our listeners that are tuned in, this is one of those rare occasions. I'm back at the home studio staying warm. You're at the homestead there in Mohammed in the house, and most
staying
of our
warm.
Children are staying home from school. Esther was off yesterday, so she went to the Great News Radio Center with me, and we kind of had a daddy-daughter work day. And Holly actually joined in, and we had our staff meeting that's usually held on Tuesdays, but we had it yesterday, and was at the center all day, but they canceled Judah Christian again today, and I thought, I'm going to stay warm here. Maybe I won't even, I mean, there's enough work I can do here at the home studio with end-of-year giving letters, thank yous, and getting a newsletter all put together and mailed out, and our It's a Wonderful Life, Jason, after you finished all the artwork for the CD cover, it's like four panels in the back cover, that should be shipped in 4 or 5 or about a week or so. So that'll be available pretty soon. And a lot of loose ends. Our Prime Life Times January edition is just about out, I think, in all the area locations. Yesterday, there was a number of deliveries throughout Danville and Georgetown and some of the sites to our, I guess you would say, our east section of the listening area. But Prime Life Times is being picked up, and it's just a lot of good feedback on some of the things, the initiatives that we've launched. And we do pray that God continues to have his way with this ministry as we seek to follow him and proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ and proclaim him clearly as Lord and Savior of all. And yes, it's an exciting year. In fact, I was on Moody Radio the other day. I was driving home. I don't know if that was Tuesday night. What was it? It's Friday today. Might have been Wednesday night. I was working at the center, and I don't know. It was like 11 or something in that golf. Oh, gosh, it's one of our announcers at night. Somebody golf. It's his golf program. He replaced Mike Kellogg. He was on. It was a live call-in, and they were asking for words. What's your word for 2018? Like, if you had just one word and somebody said faithfulness or somebody else said discipline, and I thought instantly mine was expectation. You know, I can't wait to see what God's going to do in this new year. And so I thought, oh, I'll call in, you know, what's the odds that he would answer my call? And next thing I know, you're the next one in line. Get ready to tell him your word for 2018. And so I said, expectancy, you know, and well, why is that, Mark? And so I just went into the whole thing of we just are in the end of creating this newsletter. It's at the printer, and there's eight categories of God sightings or things we see God at work through this radio ministry. And I said, then there's the personal aspect of just what I desire God to do in my life and in the life of my family. And so, I don't know, I think we were on for about 15 minutes, because then he said, well, as soon as I got off, it's like they took the 15-minute break, and I thought, wow, we were on for a long time.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, I'm kind of expectant. I don't know if you've even thought in terms of a word for 2018, but it was a neat exercise as others shared aspects of their longings or their desires or different things that they saw or desired God to do in their lives. And so, I don't know, expectancy is a really good one for me, as I really hope this is going to be one of those best ever years. But I, you know, again, my default is, and I have to remember this in other people's lives when I may be disappointed or I see something that somebody's doing and think, oh gosh, where are they at or why would they choose that? But as I have found in my life, it only takes a few moments. I mean, I've seen this in my own devotional time, a minute or two or 10 minutes or a half hour with God, and you can literally be a transformed person for the rest of your life. Maybe it wears off after an hour or two. You know, you connect with God, you feel so energized, and Lord, I'm sold out for you. I just want to be, you know, your disciple, your witness, your ambassador. And then, yeah, we sit an hour later and think, oh gosh, I've already blown it. But I do believe those moments when we connect deeply with God are so transforming that we literally can become a that new creature in Christ, a new person. And I just have to remember that those transformative moments are happening in other people's lives. So they might have been a whatever person yesterday, but if they met with God and really connected with Him, and however the Holy Spirit brought conviction and change and awareness and maybe the resolve to break through or change a habit or whatever, that's happening moment by moment in hopefully all of our lives. But it just always, a new year refreshes in me that mindset, spend time with God, you know, seek first His kingdom, His righteousness, and all these other things will fall into place. And those transformative moments are available all the time if we just meet with God. So, I don't know. Expectancy is kind of what I feel driven towards. Like, Lord, I'm going to look for You to appear and be realized in so many things. And like you say this often, it might be at the gas station pump when you interact with a person and just wish them well, or, you know, maybe you have a shirt that has something that references John 3:16, or it's a casual conversation that turns into a spiritual moment because God is glorified, or you're affirming someone, or a pat on the back, or just a word of encouragement that the Lord kind of puts on your heart. I bet that person needs to hear that they're cared for, they're important, or valued. So, oh, I don't know. I'm pretty expectant with all the different things the radio ministry is doing and moving forward on, and I just kind of can't wait to see what God does. And I feel like my life is going to be simplified a little more now that the It's a Wonderful Life project, that CD, is off and ready to be returned to us, and some of the workload that has been overwhelming is being dealt with, and more things are being delegated, and people will learn about some of this, those that contacted the station this past year, as I lay out these eight items. And two are, you know, me delegating a few more of my responsibilities to Mary Ann and to Joey Kroll and to others that are helping with the Prime Lifetime, so I'm not so involved with so many things. So I kind of look forward to that, and just other aspects of me focusing on the things that I can do best. And even we had a Prime Lifetimes meeting yesterday, and I said, Bob Dickey, why don't you oversee the meeting and set the agenda? And it was so much more efficient and on task, and he ran it much differently than how I run a meeting, and it was really refreshing. And I think, well done. So I just got to learn to let other people operate in their gifts. And it was just, it was another awakening for me to see that God has given so many other people gifts and talents and abilities, and to lean into their areas of specialty or expertise. So,
Yeah.
Have you thought about a word, or do you have a simplifying or a strategic way of, like, you know, I know you and I have talked about some of the demands and the needs that you want to focus on in this new year, or if you were going to give a word, would you have one yet?
You know, I've seen people doing this exercise with the words, and I really haven't. I haven't thought about one word. Instead, for me, it's kind of, you know, I have a 13-step plan, but I have 13 points that kind of build upon each other that I've laid out for myself in 2018 that I, you know, to really work on some things, simplify some things, say yes to the right things, no to the wrong things. You know, it really, one of the fun things that I was reading a book by Winston Churchill late last year, and one of the quotes in the book was this. He says, "You'll never reach your destination if you stop to throw stones at every dog that barks." And it made me think, how often do we do that? How often do we know what we need to do? We know how we need to do it. We know the mission that God has given us and appointed us to do. And yet we stop to care for all kinds of things and do everything. Sort of like you're saying, you know, we think that we can handle it all. We think that we can tackle all of it. And the problem is we can't. And so what we do is, instead of working our way towards the destination, the place that God has prepared for us and the ministry that God's given us to do, we stop to throw stones at every dog that barks along the way. And to build upon that, there was a Stoic philosopher, and his name was I get the name wrong, though, but it was like Epictetus, I think was his name. And he said, some things are up to us and some things are not up to us. And I really love that, because some things are for me to do with my giftings, with the things that I can do, and some things are not. And so, you know, I mean, you probably have experienced this. I mean, how many times are you doing something and you're like, God, it just feels like I'm running through, you know, sand. You know, I'm trying to get this thing done and I just can't seem to get it done. And, you know, I more and more I keep thinking, you know, maybe that's because that's for somebody else to do. That's not for me to do, even though I can do it. I mean, I think that, what do they call that? The tyranny of the good, you know, versus the great.
Right.
Where you think you can, it's good and I can do it. You know, I can do it. But you know what? There actually may be somebody who's more effective at doing it, who needs to do it. And you're robbing them of their ability to glorify God in it because you think you can do it.
Right. Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, I think as a disciple maker for Jesus, one of our great jobs is to release people, to release their gifts, to glorify God, to give people opportunities to glorify God. I think that's what leadership is. I mean, Jesus kept saying that to people. He kept releasing people to go out and do things that were God-glorifying, and for some of them felt bigger than they could do, and yet they still did it. And, you know, Jesus does a lot of things in the Gospels. I mean, let's not kid ourselves there. But he also spends a lot of time telling other people to do things and releasing other people to do things. And so I just think that that's so important. And sometimes when we release people to do things, they realize that they can't really, they need to depend on God to be able to do it too. So their relationship with God grows in that process also. So I would, that's a long answer to your really short question. I don't have a word. For me, it's more about these different things that I want to put in place and in practice to be able to have a much more healthy 2018. I would say this is the reasoning and rationale for the whole why I sat down and just thought about these things. Some of it came from an article I read on the internet that I thought was really great. It was spot on. But I just thought, Lord, if I keep doing things the way I've done things, I won't have as many years of ministry as I will if I change. And so the whole idea for me this year is I want to build a structure to my life where I'm going to reclaim some years of ministry that I think I was going to lose because I was not doing things the right way. You know, and you can do things for a while. I mean, you can not sleep for a long time. Yeah. You can just drink coffee all day long for a long time, and that works for a while. But at some point, it all kind of adds back up against you. Right. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so for this year in 2018, you know, I want to glorify God. There's a bunch of things on my plate that I really want to push forward because I think it's what God's called me to do. But more than anything, I want to put systems in place so that I can minister for a long time. I want to run the long game. Yeah. I think for too often we've I think you could say this about yourself. I think I can say this because I think this is the struggle of people who are making an impact, is sometimes we live for the short game instead of the long game. You know, and we're like, gosh, if we can just get this done, you know, and it's akin to like the short pass in the football game. Like, if we can just do enough of these, we'll get to the end zone. And it was funny because I think I was listening to, love him or hate him, but an interview with Tom Brady at the end of the year. And they said, Tom, what makes you such a successful quarterback? And he says, because no matter if I throw a 5-yard pass or I throw a 50-yard pass, I'm always looking at the end zone. And I thought that is so powerful, because what he's saying is, long or short, I'm always looking long. My eye is always on the goal. And for those of us, you know, in Christ who are ministering in his name, our goal is to glorify God, to see people transformed by him. And so we got to keep our eye on that. You know, that's the long game. And keep our eye on the fact that how long can we do this? I mean, God willing, you know, I'm only 46. You know, you're 90.
Classic.
No, what are you, 50, 55?
57.
57, man, you're a young 57.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I mean, God willing, you have another 40 plus years of ministry in you. God willing, I have another 50 plus years ministry, and it'll be 90 years old. People will be thinking like, gosh, is Burns ever going to go to heaven?
Yeah, that's right. Joey Kroll is wondering, I'm ready to take his position anytime.
The guy just won't die. Yeah. It's like the end of one of those movies, you know, where you're like, oh, is it over yet? No. Is it over yet? No.
Nope. Yeah. Hey, how did you figure out the 13 points? Was that something that they said, think of, you know, a dozen plus one, or why did you have 13 things that you were thinking of?
The article had, I think, 8 or 9, and then the 8 or 9, I had to parse them out because, you know, the article was written by a secular person.
Mm-hmm.
And so there were some where I said, okay, look at, you know, so just as an example, you know, one of them was you got to give up toxic people in your life.
Yeah.
And I thought, no, that's our job, is to minister to broken people. And broken people can tend to be toxic. Now, how do we deal with that? And so for me, it was not that one. I parsed that more out to, you know, unfortunately, there are a lot of people who seem to enjoy what, you know, some of the posts I do on Facebook and that. But one of the things I'm really going to do in 2018 is dial that back, because I really think more and more I look at it, Facebook and social media in general has become a very toxic place. I mean, you get on there and it's very negative. It's very frustrating. And there's nothing good that I think really comes from it. There are certain things you can redeem. And so, you know, there were some points that I had to parse out to make them make sense for my context. So there was no, like, magic, you know, 12 plus 1 or just kind of how it worked out.
Well, I like you mentioned, and I have another way of also looking at it, that Brady comment, keeping your eyes towards the end zone, but whether it's, a 5-yard pass or a, you know, a 70-yard pass. I was thinking in terms of those 5-yard passes, also he may be thinking, or something that I would extrapolate or pull out of that, is a lot of our ministry work are those little gains, those little 5-yard passes, the little time that we spend here.
Mm-hmm.
It's not those grand, big, look what I, you know, have accomplished or done. It's all those simple little, I mean, typically in God's economy, it's those little things. It's being courteous. It's taking the time to explain something. It's parenting with grace. It's being patient in line. It's all those little things that add up towards that touchdown or the end result. It's usually not mm-hmm. the big growth gain, you know, that just happens overnight. It's those small, incremental, little things that all add up that, you know, show our character, or, you know, modeling Christ over the long haul.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I would think it's an and both, because I would think that there's sometimes, you know, if Tom Brady threw a 5-yard pass and it got him a first down, and he and the team just began to celebrate like they won the Super Bowl,
right?
You know, it would be game over for him because they've taken their eye off the prize to celebrate the momentary kind of win. And I think for sometimes what can happen to folks in church, and I can say this because I'm in church, is you have a Sunday where all of a sudden it seems like people have come out of the woodwork, and you're just like, wow, this is amazing. How is amazing? You know, this is the bane of Easter and Christmas, is that, you know, you have all these people who come in, and it's like, wow, we've like doubled in numbers on Easter Sunday. And then the week after Easter Sunday, people are depressed, and they're like, where did they all go? You know, and you spend so much time celebrating that moment that you took your eye off of the fact that, listen, There are people in here that we love and we care for. And look, it'd be great if the church blew up like double in size or triple in size in one Sunday and it kept up momentum. But 9 times out of 10, what it's going to be is one person comes, another person comes, another person comes, and it's short passes all the way to the end zone.
Yeah.
And so you just have to be careful and just, you know, celebrate everything that you get to do. Give God the glory. But don't act like you won the game on that one pass. I mean, because it'll rob you of the energy you need to then get back up there and throw the next pass and to throw the next pass. Mm-hmm. And so I just loved it because I know that sometimes you can get wrapped up in what's happening in ministry and take your eye off of the end zone.
Yeah, that long-term vision of, yeah, it's going to be tough here. Not everything's going to always fall into place. And Brady would probably say there's going to be games you're going to lose and you're going to just have to pick up. And, yeah, it's just having that eternal perspective. Now, what do you have going on? What's that sound effect I'm hearing?
That was actually the timer for the show.
Yeah.
I set a 19-minute timer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because we're not here in the studio, and if you don't have the big clock right over your shoulder. Yeah. Well, thank you, God, that we both get to stay home. And I haven't decided there's enough radio work I can do here that I'm thinking, those of you wanting to stop by the center, there are Prime Lifetimes papers out in front of the Great News Radio Center. Bring along your ping pong paddle. You could probably pick up a game with somebody walking by in the mall. But I may stay home and work and stay warm. And I don't know about your schedule where you have to go out and about. But if you can stay home, stay warm. And, wow, it's cold out there.
Yeah, it's cool. I think that's a great idea. Stay home, stay warm, and just the rest of the world will be okay when we thaw out.
Yep, and spend some time in the good book. It'll warm your heart, it'll encourage your soul, and it'll guide us to be more effective in this new year. What a great time to start a practice, if you haven't already, of digging into God's Word, and today would be a great time for you to stay home and do that. And spend some quantity time. Yes, it'd be great if you could spend an hour or two, but if it's 5 minutes, 5 minutes in God's Word can be transformative. So we do recommend it, and we appreciate you tuning in. Hopefully next Friday we'll be back into our book of Exodus, God's book of Exodus, and see what Moses and God's Word can teach us in the days ahead. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day, night, and weekend.